If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It is an AFC Championship Victory Monday on Sports Radio 810 WHB because the Chiefs beat the Bills yesterday 38-24 at Arrowhead Stadium to advance to the Super Bowl to take on Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And right now, we have Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star to talk about it. Hello, Sam. How are you?
What's going on? Not a single complaint, man. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Do you agree with my suggestion for halftime entertainment? I think we've all heard enough of the weekend on his commercials for a Super Bowl halftime show. So now I say they remove the weekend, and you fly in the Packers and the Bills at halftime, and have a, you know, they have those little mini games with Pee Wee football, Pop Warner football, and you have a good old fashioned field goal kicking contest at halftime of the Super Bowl. Let's see who can kick the most field goals on fourth down. I think I don't know who I'd favor, but I think it would be enjoyable for everyone to watch.
And the winner gets the winner of Vrabel and Tomlin.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Field goals.
Man.
Field goals. That's field not goals. That will not beat the Chiefs, but Sean McDermott thought it might. But then after the game, and then, again, it's got to drive you crazy if you're a Buffalo fan. After the game, the guy says, well, you know, if I had to do it all over again, I'd probably go for one of those.
I actually liked it that he said that.
But it still drives you crazy, because why didn't you? Why didn't you?
Yes, no, if I'm a Bills fan, I would despise it like it was a mortal enemy. But just as an observer that doesn't care about the Bills one way or the other, except as a really interesting team, and this team that I think the Chiefs will play in the playoffs again sometime. I don't know. I think it takes, this isn't what you guys want to talk about, but I think it takes like some, like a different sort of shade of manhood to, you know, admit that, you know what, I was wrong. If I could do it again, I probably would do it differently. So, I'm sure, you know, a little open-mindedness. I like it. I just think it's a positive side as a coach, but if I'm a Bills fan, you know, I would be printing out pictures of Sean McDermott so I could punch it.
Yeah, I mean,
wow, that's extreme. All right,
I appreciated his answer more than LaFleur's. LaFleur's like he kind of acknowledged it a little bit, but he was like, "Well, hindsight's 20/20." It's right. Like, how about no? Like, I made a mistake. You know, instead of like, well, it's easy to say now that it didn't work, you know, because it didn't work. But, you know, it's like, okay, then it doesn't seem to me like you're really grasping what went wrong there, because you're just calling it hindsight. But the bottom line is Andy Reid has ultimate confidence in his team, even when things go haywacky, Sam Mellinger. So, you know, what really else could you ask for?
I never heard that one before. I've heard the farmer's analogy he's used a couple times. But, yeah, hey, wacky, that's a new one.
Did you know how to spell that? Like, if you were going to type that in a – like, if you were going to quote him in your column, how would you have spelled that?
I did quote him, and I think I just went phonetic. I don't know if they changed it. I actually haven't checked the website to see if they changed it.
A couple
it.
Things that went a little hey, wacky today. But
So I just went phonetic, and the program I use tried to change it into two words, and I made an executive decision, and I sent it in as one word. It just seemed like it should be one word to me, but that was a new one. I mean, but you know what? Like, I think that I went into this game like legitimately believing that the Bills could win. I thought if they played this game 10 times, I thought the Bills could win, you know, 3 or 4. Chiefs are better, but the Bills have some things that they can do. And after watching that game, I'm just not sure. Like, because the Bills, stuff happened that opened the door for the Chiefs opponent to win that game. You know what I mean? If you get Mecole Hardman to drop a punt, you know, without being touched, and you recover inside the five, if you get Tyreek Hill to drop a 40-yard pass, if you get – it would have been a great play. It would have been a great play. But if you get Juan Thornhill to not come up with that interception, if you get Charvarius Ward, and that would not have been a great play, that just would have been an interception. If you get him to drop that play – you know what I mean? Like they got a lot of breaks. They got the kind of breaks that sort of, you know, if you play better, can erase the talent difference. And it still wasn't enough. And it just, God, they're good. They're so good. And the defensive game plan, I thought Steve Spagnuolo had Brian Daboll just running circles around himself. Like, you know, the pressure, he was aggressive in all the big moments, Spagnuolo was. It seemed like they unlocked something, didn't it, with the blitzes,
mm-hmm.
and being
yes.
able to,
yes.
you know, I haven't watched them all. Like I haven't watched the game again, obviously, but it seemed like they kept blitzing from, you know, arm side, I guess we'd call it, and you know, to try and limit Allen's, you know, using his legs. I mean, they just had them in fits, and then you know, offensively, it's just God. I mean, they're just. I this is what I wrote about because it just watching them, especially in that second quarter, but. Later in the game as well. It's just the Chiefs are just inevitable. You know, like mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes is just inevitable. You can have a first quarter like the Bills had where things go right for you and whatever, but God, it's going to happen. At some point, it is going to happen, and he's gonna do something that other quarterbacks can't do, and he's going to be aided by the fact that he has this Hall of Fame tight end and a potential Hall of Fame wide receiver, and it's just
greatest tight end ever.
He's trending that way, isn't he? I mean, I don't know how to compare like offensive numbers from now to whenever, but God, he's you can't cover him. You know, although the Bills might have tried a little bit harder than
Matt Milano's going to cover him. Didn't you get the memo? That's what the story was coming out of Buffalo. That was the difference. Matt Milano didn't play the regular season game, and he was going to cover Kelce. So someone let me know when they start covering him, because they had 13 catches, 118 yards, and two touchdowns later. The answer is no.
I thought he did a really good job of almost tackling Patrick Mahomes on that one blitz where Mahomes threw the first down pass to Kelce with him, you know, right there.
I feel like I shouldn't even bring up the field goals anymore, because even if they did go for it and score touchdowns, the Chiefs are still winning that game. They're that much better than Buffalo. But I want to go back to what you said about Spags. Let's spend some time there, because that's important. Because the Chiefs defense, I thought, was really, really good yesterday. And Ed Werder had this tweet last night.
Yeah.
This is just mind-boggling to me. I'm going to read it again, then I want you to comment and tell me a little bit more in depth about this defense and how they're playing and what that means against Tampa. The Chiefs defense pressured Josh Allen on 27 of his 57 dropbacks. That's 47%. That's the most pressures for a quarterback in a playoff game since ESPN began tracking quarterback pressures in 2009. He was also pressured on 10 of 12 third down dropbacks. And everyone knows that's got to be the way. And Steve Spagnuolo, better than anyone, knows that's how you beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. You got to put pressure on him and get him off the spot. That's what you do, Sam Mellinger.
Yeah, I mean, and that 10 to 12 on third downs, I think, is particularly telling, because that's kind of what I was referring to about, like, they were super aggressive in the big moments. And they were – Josh Allen has been just a freak of nature, and just – I mean, the numbers and the plays that he's made the last 2 months or so have really been incredible. And in those big moments, Steve Spagnuolo is kind of not really taking the ball out of his hand, but, you know, sort of like, we're going to dictate the terms, you know, is one way to put it. And, you know, it seemed like they were blitzing a lot. I'd be curious, you know, those 10 to 12, I'd be curious how many of those were blitzes. I'm looking at the official box score, and you know, quarterback hurries are not the same thing as pressures. There's all kinds of different ways to do it, but the official box score gives 8 different Chiefs credit for a quarterback hurry. 8. And it seemed like that a lot of that stuff came on blitzes. You know, not just L'Jarius Sneed, who's been terrific with that all season, but, you know, Tyrann Mathieu's a great blitzer. They brought Daniel Sorensen. You know, it was multiple. They were coming from different ways. And some of this, you know, look, like I give the lion's share of, you know, credit / blame. You know, the Chiefs were great, and I think they deserve the credit, but it sure did not seem like the Bills were adjusting.
Well,
you know, shifting the offensive line over, just, you know, screen passes. I know Singletary dropped that one that would have been a good game. But, you know, there wasn't a counter to what the Chiefs were doing, so the Chiefs just kept doing it.
Yeah, so much of what happens in the NFL anymore is pre-snap. You know, the court, I mean, I can't remember which play it was, but you guys, I don't know if you picked this up. There was a play where Mahomes got under center, and he's calling out the offense, and he goes, "It's a nickel. That's a damn nickel." Like, he literally cussed at his teammates, like telling them, "I know what defense, does everybody see what defense they're running right now?" And Mahomes is incredible at that. And I thought Josh Allen looked woefully unprepared for the blitzes that were coming. And that is, I'm going to be fascinated to see, Sam, how that translates in the game against the Bucs, because Tom Brady is not very athletic and agile like Allen would be to buy time, but pre-snap, he's got to be 100 times better than Allen, right? So I think that's going to be interesting. How does, you know, do the Chiefs blitz as often against Tom Brady as they did against Josh Allen, and how does it work?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, I think this is interesting, but, you know, the teams that have scored the most points against the Chiefs have been drop-back passers. They've been guys that aren't mobile. You know, they've had... you know, I don't have all the games in front of me, but I think I have this right. Depending on what you think of Tua, but if you leave him to the side, and he didn't have a great game with his legs against the Chiefs, but, you know, Deshaun Watson, Justin Herbert, don't count the Week 17 game when nobody was playing, Lamar Jackson, you know, the mobile quarterbacks that the Chiefs faced, they gave up 20 or fewer points. You know, the times that teams, you know, got to and broke 30 points, including Derek Carr, incredibly, was, you know, just sort of more traditional drop-back passers. So that is interesting. I mean, I think that, you know, Tampa Bay's got, you know, an offensive line. Their right tackle, the rookie, God, why is his name escaping me? But he can play. He's terrific. But, they, you know, they can be had. They've given up some pressures. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be, you know, sort of one of those delights for us, you know, football nerds, to see, you know, in what ways the Chiefs can create pressure against a guy that's not going to avoid it. And a guy that we've seen over and over and over throughout this season. I mean, he's 43 years old, so this isn't a criticism at all. But, you know, if you can pressure him, he gets bad pretty quick. And if you don't pressure him, he's going to kill you.
Justin Wirfs.
Yes,
the excellent from Iowa, rookie, right? The excellent rookie for Tampa, but I just look. Tom Brady is Tom Brady, but it is. I'm with you, Sam. It's somewhat refreshing to go up against a quarterback that you don't have to worry about scrambling for 20 yards or keeping a play alive and finding an open receiver in a broken coverage. Because I mean, even like, you know, Baker Mayfield. I mean, I thought Baker Mayfield played a lot better than Josh Allen. And yeah. I was even more impressed with what Baker Mayfield did in that game, except for that final drive. But, I mean, that's, you know, even last year, you know, Deshaun Watson can move around. Tannehill is very mobile in the pocket, can run with the football. You know, Garoppolo's not, but you see how that turned out. But I love it. That's one less thing that you have to worry about. Now, Brady is awesome. He's you know, he's Tom Brady. But he ain't beating you with his legs. That's one less thing that you have to deal with if you're the Chiefs defense. We've got Sam Mellinger on the line. We'll come back with more after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I don't know what's going through my head, man. Just, you know, a dumb mistake on my part. Could have been better. But, you know, like Pat, you know, and other guys, just like, you know, keep your head up. It's a long game. Got a lot of more plays to make. And we're going to need you down the stretch. And that was that.
get him off and keep him in and let's go, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just told him to keep his head up. I mean, we've been in that situation before. I told him he's going to make a play in this game that's going to change the game, and he made multiple of them. So we believe in each other. We think that we're going to do whatever it takes to win, and those guys did that.
And Mecole Hardman went on to have a touchdown catch and a big 50-yard run for the Chiefs. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez, and Sam Mellinger. Sam, Eric Fisher being hurt really is a gut punch, and Ian Rappaport confirmed early this morning that it's a ruptured Achilles, so he's out. Matt Derrick tweeted, and I think we all knew this, but just it bears repeating, that Eric Fisher, with him in the lineup, the Chiefs 27-1. The past two seasons, 4-5 when he isn't. Now you can go in and dig a little deeper as to why. There's some other reasons besides Eric Fisher. But Eric Fisher is not given enough appreciation for how good, how steady he is. How do you expect the Chiefs to try to overcome this? What offensive line do you expect them to start down in Tampa? Because there are some different options that they have.
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge problem, and I suspect that it's going to be a pretty big chunk of how we talk about this game. Remmers is there. They finished the game, correct me if I'm wrong, but Remmers was at left tackle. I think Andrew Wiley was at right tackle.
And
Wisniewski came in. I suspect that that's the way that they will go. But, I mean, this is a – you know, if you just think of the offensive line that the Chiefs hoped they would have, Fisher and Mitch Schwartz are their two best offensive linemen, and by a pretty good chunk. And that's not disrespect to the guys in the middle, but those tackles, that's kind of how they built this thing, is to let those guys block for the most part by themselves and kind of help in the middle. And now neither of those guys are going to be there. And not just that, but the Bucs have one of the best pass rushes in football, and they are built on the edges. They are built with Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul, coming from each edge. So this is, there's nothing in football that's, you just can't overcome, except for Patrick Mahomes. But they're going to have to adjust like how they block for sure. There's going to maybe there's a lot of routes where you keep another tight end in. Maybe Edwards-Helaire, whoever you have in the backfield, Darrell Williams may get, some more snaps than he otherwise would to help chip. But, this it's a problem in a lot of ways. And including, for some of these deeper routes, you need an extra half second or an extra second. And maybe that's going to be a little bit more difficult to get now.
Well, is there any chance that you think that Mitchell Schwartz can play?
That's a question I'll ask this week. And the last time I asked it, it really didn't seem like it. But that was before the playoffs. So anything's possible, but it would certainly be, that'd be a hell of a thing, put it that way, right? If a guy hadn't played since week six with a back injury, and now all of a sudden he's available for the Super Bowl. But that is a question that I will ask.
Well, as we did learn last year, you do need time to run, Wasp, and they had it. So I guess that is important. But, like, man, I hesitate to say this, Sam, but has this season not been more of a testament to anybody that wants to argue that, offensive line is great, but you don't need it to win if you have an elite quarterback and elite skill position players? I mean, they've lost everybody on this offensive line. They lost Fisher in this game, and they drove right down the field on that drive and scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the quarterback, right? That's what they call him, the force multiplier, because he erases a lot of mistakes or a lot of problems. Mike Remmers and Andrew Wiley are not scrubs. They are not, Nate, to use your favorite term, just guys off the street selling insurance. these are professional football players. But it is a gap. There's a reason that Fisher and Schwartz not only were they starting, but they're on big contracts. you know. And I do think that there's a difference between facing the Bills, no offense to those guys, but between them and facing the Bucks that have high-dollar, accomplished guys rushing that edge. I mean, it's hard to imagine that won't be part of where Todd Bowles begins his game plan from, and Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy too, you know, of how to play that matchup. And but you're right. I mean, there's stuff you can do. You know, there's quick passes. The reason the Chiefs are not just good but great, you know, the reason that they're not just, you know, Super Bowl champions last year, but, you know, at the beginning of a potential dynasty, is that you can't just shut down one thing and then that's a wrap. You got to beat, you know. I mean, there's a lot of holes that you've got to plug. You know, you can't just beat them one way because they've got six ways to beat you. So, you know, this is a setback, and it'll change, again, like how the game is planned on both ends, but it's not, you know, insurmountable, I guess is how I'd say it.
Sam Mellinger is our guest. Sam, Darrell Williams, you mentioned him maybe getting some more snaps because of pass protection. I'm okay with him getting more snaps, period. Again, he looked really, really good. Now, in watching the game, I was talking with one of my boys about it, and you know, I said, hey, maybe he does it. The thing he lacks is that, you know, breakaway big play ability, like like maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire has. But very rarely do you see Darrell Williams tackled for a loss. He's a bigger guy. Doesn't dance around as much, and is it sounds cliche, but he gets the yards that are there, and sometimes that's like with me in punt returns, I just want a guy that'll catch the ball. Right. I really don't care what you do with it. I don't care what you do with it afterwards. Catch the ball, and if you're a running back, just get the yards that are there. Don't fumble, be consistent, and we're good. And so I love it, and I think he's earned more playing time.
I agree. And the other thing, I guess this is sort of along the lines of what you were just talking about, Stephen, but he runs so hard. He runs so damn hard.
Right.
And, you know, whatever level of muscle he's got, he uses it all on every snap. And he's a guy, I mean, how many times this season we talked about the Chiefs' struggles and at times inability to run the ball up the middle, and this guy can do that. And you're right. Like I like the way that you say it. I mean, like if Darrell Williams is in space, he's not gonna. Remember in the season opener? I forgot the poor soul, the Texan safety. But remember, Edwards-Helaire just made him look like a fool. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
Juked him, and it just the guy wasn't 2 feet within, you know, touching Edwards-Helaire. Darrell Williams isn't gonna do that. He doesn't have that in him. But, you know, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't have some of the stuff that Darrell Williams has. So, you know, that's the thing about running backs, man. Like, if you've got a good front office and if you've got a good coaching staff that knows how to use them, you know, they can be a little bit interchangeable. And each guy's got some strengths. I mean, there's stuff that they'll run with Clyde that they're not going to run with Darrell Williams and vice versa. So they're set at that position with or without Le'Veon Bell, I think, as long as those two guys are healthy.
I covered my eyes after Clyde got hit on that swing pass. Pass he caught, and he who was it that lit him up? I was very happy to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire get back on his feet after that, because that could have been ugly.
Yep.
Last time around against the Bucks, the Chiefs threw the ball 50 times and ran it 20. And four of those 20 runs were Patrick Mahomes. So they only handed it to a running back 16 times that entire game against the Bucks. So it'll be interesting to see. Like, you know, like this time around, we wondered, are they going to run it as much as they did against the Bills last time? No, they threw it all over the field against them. And now will they throw it against the Bucks as much as they did last time? It's because, you know, Andy Reid's going to have a completely different game plan for the Bucks this time than he did the last time around.
Well, we were just talking about, you know, the Bills' lack of adjustments, you know, in protection against those blitzes. The Bucks were pretty slow to adjust to the Chiefs throwing the ball downfield. And I'm wondering how that'll go. And everybody remembers Tyreek Hill with 200 and whatever it was yards in the first quarter. That could have been even more. Wasn't that the game that McCole Hardman was wide open downfield?
Yeah.
And Mahomes, you know, Hardman maybe could have made it would have been a great catch, but, you know, Mahomes has to make a better throw there, and he knows that. So, I mean, you know, they found some ways. As much of a struggle as that's going to be, you know, keeping Mahomes clean, you know, keeping pressure off of him. You know, the Bucs have a lot of things to worry about on their own on the back end.
We have Sam Mellinger on the line. Sam, let's give a shout-out to Brett Veach and the 2019 draft, who had a pretty good night last night when you consider after fumbling the punt, McCole Hardman with the touchdown catch and the 50-yard run. Juan Thornhill, I thought, was excellent in coverage. He had four passes defensed. Should have got that interception, but I thought Thornhill looked as good as he's looked in a while. Rashad Fenton came back and then had the huge interception of Josh Allen. And we talk about the problems of the offensive line. Nick Allegretti has done very well since being inserted to that guard position in all four draft picks from the 2019 draft. And, I mean, you talk about the Packers who got nothing, getting nothing from their draft, really, and especially the first-round pick, on the heels of an NFC Championship game appearance last year. The Chiefs are getting production from young players, including a guy that just looks like a first-round pick, Legarius Sneed, who keeps performing at such a high level. And so it's players like that that show that Brett Veach is doing an excellent job of building this team and putting talent around Patrick Mahomes.
Sneed really is incredible, man. That is a different deal. You know, a fourth-round pick from a relatively small school that, you know, switched around positions, and you think, well, why did La Tech switch him from corner to safety? Is that something we can trust? And I mean, you know, when you have as much money as the Chiefs do tied up in, you know, and these are all like, these are good problems to have, right? But when you have as much money as they have tied up into, you know, Mahomes, Jones, Kelsey, Hill, Clark, Matthew, it sort of, you know, removes the safety net, you know, you're walking that tightrope, and, you know, the importance of the draft is, that's a huge deal for 32 teams, right? But, you know, when you've got that much money tied up into the stars, it becomes even more important, and you can't have empty classes. And you're right, man. I mean, they have been able to, you know, to find guys that, once they start playing it, a lot of it is Brett Veach and the front office, and they've got a lot of smart people who work really hard and know what they're doing. But it also helps, you know, I think that especially after the first round, if you get drafted by the Chiefs, I think you're pretty damn happy. You know what I mean? Like, I think that you feel pretty confident that you're going to be whichever side of the ball you play. I feel you probably feel confident that, you know, you're going to have good players around you. You're going to be put in a position for success. I mean, I think all of that stuff matters, too, the context in which these players are presented.
Sam Mellinger is with us. We will have one more short segment with Sam after this on WHB.
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having three shots and coming away with no yards. And knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2-point. So the way I was looking at it was we essentially had four timeouts with the 2-minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end, but, you know, we got called for the PI. It didn't work out. So I think anytime something doesn't work out, do you regret it? Sure. But we're always going to be process-driven here. And the way our defense was battling, the way our defense was playing, we felt like it was the right decision to do. And it just didn't work out.
That was Packers coach Matt LaFleur talking about the decision to kick a field goal on fourth down that led ultimately to the Packers losing and Tampa Bay advancing to the Super Bowl, where they'll play the Kansas City Chiefs. Any final thoughts on that situation that everyone is talking about today, Sam Mellinger, and now wondering if Aaron Rodgers is even going to be back in Green Bay, which is unbelievable.
I mean, walking away from the league MVP would be a bold move. But on the kicking and I think that you know, fourth and short decisions are pretty similar. We talked about this before, but I really think that I hope it's next season, but you know, within the next 5 years or so, I just feel like we're going to look back on this time in the NFL as sort of, God, remember when coaches were scared to go for it on fourth and one? It continues to kind of baffle my mind that these guys, they're smart and they, you know, they live this, this is their life. And, you know, they spend all week, you know, searching, desperate to find any little edge. And they just, a lot of them, continue to sort of let this one slip through. And, you know, it's a strange blind spot that I think has been built up, you know, in sort of football coach culture over the years. But, you know, I think the coaches that are willing to trust the numbers, you know, and do something a little bit differently are being rewarded for it. And the ones that aren't are being punished for it.
So the weird thing about this one, though, is that supposedly from stuff I'm reading, I'm seeing analytics people saying that the analytics say he was right to not go for it there on fourth and goal from the eight, which I don't understand. And I'm not really going to spend that much time diving into it because I can't. It's ridiculous. Like, I don't know.
Well, one of the factors there, I guess, is that, you know, it's not just the touchdown, but you need a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. And that just ties it. Whereas if you kick the field goal, you know, now you just win the game outright with a touchdown. The problem with that is that, you know, just maybe this is the old school football in me, but, you know, you lower the standard for Tom Brady, and we can talk a lot about Tom Brady, but you lower his standard from driving down the field, you know, probably having to put in some risky passes to get a field goal. You change that standard, and now all he needs is a first down or two. And, you know, that to me is the big part of it. And the other big part of it, too, is that, you know, I'd feel differently if I was the coach of Washington or – you know, just insert a team with a normal quarterback, but you know, you've got the league MVP, and I think that you know, sometimes you've got to play to your strength. Now, look, I also think that it can be said that you know, the Packers did not lose that game because they didn't go for fourth down, or that Rodgers didn't run it on third down when it sure looked like he could have. You know, they lost that game because they had three shots at it in the first half, and they threw it to Devontae Adams three times and came up with a 20-yard field goal. They lost that game because they gave up a 40-some-yard touchdown at the end of the first half.
Yes.
when you need to be playing back. I mean, that's yes. Where that game, you know, that's where they lost it.
They lost that game when they decided what Greg Williams did at the end of the Jets-Raiders game was a good idea.
That's exactly right.
And I would not be happy with that coaching staff. I was a Packers fan or Aaron Rodgers based on what happened at the end of the first half and what happened at the end of the game. All right, let's take an early look at the Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the Bucks. I know there's going to be a lot said about Eric Fisher not being there and all the other storylines, but what does your gut tell you, Sam Mellinger? Be the first. Be bold. Give us an early Super Bowl prediction, if you please.
Well, first, I mean, just this is one of those rare games, I think, like, whether you are a football dork like we are, or if you're just a more, you know, sort of casual fan, I mean, this is just a delicious matchup. You know what I mean? Like, this is, I think, the best Super Bowl matchup in quite some time. You know, in a lot of levels, but I think the Chiefs are better. I do, and I think that even without Schwartz and Fisher protecting Patrick Mahomes, I just it is a weird thing with Tom Brady because how do you not respect him? You play the best football player of all time, 10 Super Bowls, and going for 7 wins is just an absolutely absurd fact. But he threw 3 interceptions. Like, if you look at how they win with defense, you know, Brady makes some plays. He makes some important plays. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But, you know, he threw for, what, like 180 yards against the Saints and, you know, three interceptions against the Packers. I mean, you know, they're going to win with defense. And if that's how you're going to win, I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill, especially after seeing in Week 12. And I know it'll be a different game. But, you know, the pace of adjustments, I guess you'd say, was not real great from the Bucs. So I think the Chiefs are going to score a lot of points. And, you know, I'm thinking, 31-27, something like that. I keep picking.
I like what you say.
I'm not trying to do this, but the line's like 3.5. So I guess I'm right around that line. But unless it's changed, I think it opened at 3.5. So I just think the Chiefs are better. I just think that quarterback changes everything. I really do.
Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, guys. Thank you.
That's Sam Mellinger. Up next, we'll talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN. And then Super DJ Derek Johnson will give us his thoughts on the Chiefs' victory over the Buffalo Bills 38-24 in the AFC Championship game yesterday, advancing to their second Super Bowl in a row. Back to back, baby. We're going back to back. Back to back on Sports Radio 810 WHB.